Hi, it's Huyen here, and welcome back to IELTS with Huyen, and this is IELTS with Huyen 2022. I would like to spend some moment to show appreciation to all of you who have been with me since day one. You don't know, but you helped me a lot. It's been exactly 1 year since I started this podcast, and I have never been more grateful than today, because I posted the very first episode on the 1st of January 2021, and today, now, the moment I am recording this, it is 2022, the 1st of January. And whenever I looked back, I felt extremely grateful for my audience and for you, because without your support, I wouldn't be able to continue. 2021 wasn't a very good year for me because I went through a lot, and a lot of times I just wanted to stop my teaching career and also everything, my Instagram, my TikTok and everything. But I kept receiving notifications from anchors, from Spotify, that people started to follow me, started to favor my podcast and started to watch my videos. It kept me going. And of course, through my podcast and through my videos, I gained some students, and it kept me busy, you know, away from all the negative thoughts that I would have had if I hadn't had you guys. So thank you very much for supporting me. And I hope that this year, 2022, will be a very wonderful year for all of us. I wish for myself to be more creative, to be able to come up with a lot of good ideas and good topics to share with you, and would be able to help more people. And I wish for you, you know, whatever you are trying to achieve, the band score that you desire, you will get this year. I mean, I know that you will get, you know, so believe in yourself, please. So let's say that I don't want to start 2022 with a very heavy topic, but I want to be a little bit more informative and a little bit more prepared for everybody. It's not like I want to put a lot of information into your head. I want you to be more prepared, to be more aware, to be informed of the exams and everything. So I have come up with an idea that I'd like to talk about something that I have never talked about and I have never no thought of talking about, because I assumed everybody would have known. But it turned out no, because recently I received a question about the criteria to assess writing and speaking, and I realized, oh my God, I have never talked about this and I have never thought of talking about this. So yeah, here I am. I'm going to talk about the criteria to assess your speaking in this podcast episode. And I hope that after this episode, you'll be able to understand why you are given this band score and how to get to the band score that you desire. So stay with me. So there are three parts in the IELTS speaking exam, and your speaking performance is assessed by four criteria. This piece of information already debunks one of the biggest myths in IELTS speaking and also in IELTS in general. Some people say that you have to perform equally well in all three parts in order to get the high band score. Normally, people find part three, where you express your opinions, a little bit more difficult than other parts. They perform a little bit less well, but it is okay as long as you do not show that you cannot say anything. It's not going to be a big problem, so don't worry about it. The four criteria in IELTS speaking are equally important. Nothing is more important than anything, so you have to make sure that everything, you focus on everything, not only one or two things. So I'm going to explain the criteria in detail for you. Criteria number one is pronunciation, and I would like to talk about pronunciation first because there are so many misconceptions about this criteria. The number one misconception and also the number one problem when it comes to learning English, or I think any other languages, I mean, I don't know about other languages, but in English is such a big deal. A lot of people believe that you need to have an accent, like a particular accent, British accent or American accent, in order to get a high score in IELTS speaking. And that is wrong. I can tell you frankly and confidently that this is so wrong. This is so misinformed. You do not need to have a particular accent in order to get a high score in IELTS speaking. And if you're talking about the native accents, what about Australian accents? What about New Zealanders' accents? What about them? Right. So if you consider English as a first language in Singapore, you know, English is also the official, one of the official languages. They have their own accent. Is it okay? It is okay. Okay, there's nothing wrong with having an accent. But the problem is about mispronunciation. When you mispronounce a word, the listener might not be able to understand what you're trying to say. And mispronunciation is completely different from having an accent. Let me give you an example. For Arabic speakers, the P and B sound are almost the same. Okay, because in their language, they don't differentiate between these sounds. As a result, when they speak English, they often say pay and bay in almost the same way. That is mispronunciation. However, there are a lot of Arabic speakers that I have met speak perfectly well English. And for them, even though they do have the accents, they do have the sounds that they often make when they speak Arabic in the way that they speak English, but they do not mispronounce B and P. That means that their accent does not affect the way they pronounce words in English, meaning that it does not affect their score in terms of pronunciation. Again, I would like to reaffirm that as long as your first language accent has no effect on the intelligibility of English, that is completely fine, okay? So please, don't worry about it. In the pronunciation criterion, if you attend the exam and if you speak something, you will not get band 0 and band 1. In order to get band 2, you need to speak the way that nobody understands you, like you speak a completely different language, okay? So like nobody understands you. That is how you get band 2. Normally, you'll get higher than that because I know you are listening to my podcast. Your English level is good and you are definitely able to perform well in the IELTS speaking exam. Now, in order to get a band 9, which is the highest band score in IELTS speaking, you need to use a full range of pronunciation features with precision and subtlety, okay? Meaning that when you pronounce words, there are no pauses in order to figure out how to pronounce the word. And the words, the way you pronounce the words are the way you often speak in real life, not that you have time to think about it and you change pronunciation only for the exam. All right, that is why the examiners keep asking you questions, just to make sure that you are okay in pronunciation and you are able to speak fluently, speak with good pronunciation. And another thing you need to know in order to get a band 9 or in order to get like high band scores such as 8 and 9, you will need to sustain flexible use of features throughout your performance. It's not like in the beginning you perform very well and towards the end your pronunciation becomes so bad and the examiner wouldn't be able to understand you. And that is why it doesn't really matter if you pronounce words correctly in the beginning, but then you consistently pronounce it wrong at the end of the performance. That is going to affect your score still, okay? And it should be effortless for the examiner to understand what you're trying to say, meaning there is no mispronunciation, meaning you need to be able to pronounce words correctly and naturally. The second criterion is fluency and coherence. So in this criterion, you need to be aware that you cannot speak with long pauses if you want a high score in this band score. And the fact that you give only simple responses and frequently unable to convey basic messages, that would affect your high, you know, your performance very much. Basically, you not only need to answer the questions in the simple way, you need to expand your answer a little bit. For example, if you get a question about reading books, like, do you like reading books? Instead of just saying yes or no, you will need to explain it a little bit. You will need to elaborate it a little bit in order to make the examiner understand that you are able to convey the messages. It doesn't really matter if you explain why you like reading books or why you dislike reading books, or it doesn't really matter if you are just talking about the books that you like to read, the genres that you like to read. It doesn't really matter. the only thing that matters here is how you convey your messages and how you explain it and how you make sure that everything is put in a logical order. Now, the next thing you need to notice in this criterion is that you need to maintain flow of speech. And of course, sometimes you will have to repeat yourself, but it should be rare. And sometimes you need to self-correct, meaning that you understand that you have made a mistake and you go back and you correct yourself. But it should also be rare. If you continuously correct yourself, that is not going to work out, okay? And if you speak too slowly, that is also going to affect your score. Because normally people speak at a certain speed. It means that when you speak too slowly, you are buying yourself time to think about what you want to say and how you say it. And that is not cool, okay? That's not cool at all. And meaning that you will get a lower score for that. So my idea is that you don't speak too slowly, but you do not speak too fast, because the faster you speak, maybe the more mistakes you're gonna make, and probably you wouldn't be able to pronounce words correctly, and it's gonna affect your pronunciation band score. One more thing. When we speak, we tend to use some connectives and discourse markers, such as basically and things like that. I do find myself using so and basically a lot. Overusing these connectives and discourse markers would also reduce your band score. Make sure that everything you say is connected to each other, but not repeatedly using connectives and discourse markers just to buy time. Like when you don't want to say, you don't know what to say, you say like, and basically, technically, things like that. If you do not know what to say, to say that I don't have a lot of information about this, let me think, right? So instead of using all the connectives, better you tell the examiner that you need some time to think. So by yourself, like about 2 or 3 seconds to think while you are talking. In order to get a band 9 in fluency and coherence, you will need to speak fluently with rare repetition or self-correction. So we talked about that, right? So we can repeat things in IELTS, but better not too many times. And you can correct yourself, but not too many times. Any hesitations is content related rather than to find words or grammar. So pay attention here. You can show that you are hesitating, but it has to be content related. It cannot be to find words or grammar. But pausing gives two messages. The first message is you don't understand. Okay, you do not know what to say. And the second is to find content to speak about. That is why even if you want to pause, you need to tell the examiner that, okay, I'm going to pause, but I'm going to pause to find content, not to find words and grammar. So in a few cases, you might have some weird topics such as talking about stars, talking about watching birds, and etc. You find it extremely weird, okay, and you don't know anything about. For example, if you ask me about sports or you ask me about, let's say, football, I wouldn't be able to speak in length because I don't know much about this topic, right? So that's why I would tell the examiner that, oh, this is an interesting topic. I have never thought of it before. Let me think. Or something like, oh, I have never done this before, but if I have a chance, I would definitely try. Okay, so basically, you will need to speak something. You will need to say something to the examiner to make sure that he understands that you are pausing, but it's not to find words and grammar, but to find content. All right, so because not everybody is knowledgeable about everything. And the topics in IELTS are vast. Like, there are a lot of topics in IELTS. You can't just know about everything. The next thing you need to do if you want a band 9 is to speak coherently with fully appropriate cohesive features, meaning that everything has to stick together. Everything has to be connected to each other. Here comes another misconception, or maybe I call it a myth. Some people say that you should lie even if you don't know anything about, and I am not opposing it, okay? I think that if you can lie and you can perform well if you lie, that is okay. But make sure that everything has to be logical. And then you need to develop the topics fully and appropriately, not only giving short answers, but also expand your answers a little bit, elaborate your answers a little bit to make sure that the examiner understands that you have enough English to express what you want to say. The next criterion is lexical resource. Lexical means relating to vocabulary. In order to get a B9 in this criterion, you need to use vocabulary in full flexibility and precision in all topics, meaning that you will need to show the examiner that you know vocabulary of all topics, unfortunately. Well, it comes with luck. Do you think so? Like, if you're lucky, you will get the topics that you know a lot about and you know a lot of vocabulary about. But if you're not very lucky, you'll get some weird topics that you don't know. In those cases, you still have to speak and you still have to show your vocabulary. Well, it is a little bit vague to tell you how you're going to do that. But if you have a lot of time, not a lot of time, but if you have a little more time to prepare and to practice for the IELTS exam, I would strongly suggest you learn vocabulary in the general way, meaning that you learn the words that can be used in all cases, in a lot of cases, not only some particular fields. I know that you know a lot of words in your fields. Like, I wouldn't understand the vocabulary in the medical field if you are a nurse or you are a doctor, or if you're an engineer. I wouldn't understand what you're trying to say if you use some certain words, but those words can only be used in your field. You wouldn't be able to use them anywhere else. That's why if you don't get the topics that you know a lot about, that is going to be a very big problem. And also my suggestion for you when you learn vocabulary is to learn the usage of the words. So one word can be used in a lot of cases depending on different meanings. And even though sometimes you think that this word cannot be used in certain contexts, it can still be used. Okay, for example, I have the word purchase and buy. They are the same. Almost right, but I have the word buy and choose. They are not the same. They are not synonyms. But in certain contexts, you can use them interchangeably. For example, I would say that I bought a Gucci bag yesterday. I chose it because it was on sale. In this case, the word chose was used to replace the word bought because in this context, they mean the same. And one more thing you need to know if you want to get a B9 in speaking in terms of vocabulary is that you need to use idiomatic language naturally and accurately. Now, what is idiomatic language? Idiomatic language is the kind of discourse that you use figurative meaning to convey the messages. So it includes phrase of verb, idioms, and metaphors. But it doesn't mean that you can use any idioms or you can use any metaphors in the IELTS speaking. But it doesn't mean that you can use any idiom or metaphor in IELTS speaking, because if you use less common idioms and some weird metaphors, it's gonna be bad for you. All right. So it is better for you to learn idioms, yes, but learn some common idioms, not everything. Like, let's say we all know the idiom raining cats and dogs. Right. But in fact, it is not very popular. It is not very common for native speakers to use. So instead of saying it is raining cats and dogs, normally people would say it is pouring down. Okay, that's better. And it is also idiomatic language. You don't have to use idiom all the time, but use one or two would be better and make sure that they are common and they are correctly used. Another thing I would like to talk about in this criterion is paraphrasing. Now, paraphrasing is one of the most powerful techniques in IELTS. It would help you in every way possible, in speaking, in writing, in listening, in reading, whichever way you want it to be. In paraphrasing, one of the most powerful tools is synonyms. Synonyms are words that have the same or similar meanings in different contexts. And if you cannot paraphrase effectively, you will not get a very high band score in speaking, especially in terms of lexical resource. You will need to paraphrase successfully, correctly. For that, you will need to use a wide range of vocabulary. So make sure that you are aware of paraphrasing. If you do not know how to paraphrase, I have an article about this on my website, ielswithhuyen.com, to check it out. And I think it is nice. If I'm not talking about myself only. A lot of people told me that it was very nice. The next criterion, and also the last one, is grammatical range and accuracy. In order to get a band 9 in grammar, you will need to use a full range of structures naturally and appropriately, okay? It's not only you using it, but also using it naturally and appropriately. Do not leave the naturally and appropriately part aside, because if you use it wrong, it doesn't work. It will give you a reduction. And if you use it unnaturally and inappropriately, it also gives you a reduction. So my idea is that I would rather use something simple, but naturally and appropriately and correctly, rather than using something advanced, but I'm not sure. Then you will need to produce consistently accurate structures, apart from some slips, characteristic of native speaker speech. So this is what I am interested in. There are things that we say, and it is grammatically correct, but to a native speaker's ears, it sounds really weird, right? For example, in Vietnam, where I'm from, we often say there are 4 people in my family, my mom, my dad, my sister, and me. Well, this sentence is grammatically correct, right? And it conveys messages, like I send out messages to people so people understand that I have a sister. But to a native speaker, they find it extremely weird because why do you need to tell me about your parents, right? A family is supposed to have parents, okay? So mom and dad, and the only difference is your siblings. Meaning that if you want to talk about your family, you only need to talk about your siblings, unless your parents are divorced or whatever, okay? So to a native speaker, a friend of mine told me once that they often say, I have a sister, I have a brother, and if you have something different in terms of parents, like if your parents, you have 2 dads, you have 2 moms, or you have 1 dad, you know, your dad and your mom are divorced and things like that. You say it out, or even if you don't want to say it out, it doesn't matter. If you want to talk about your family, you only talk about your siblings. Like, I have a sister, I have a brother. That's it. But to a Vietnamese like me, in order to just say I have a sister, it sounds really weird, right? So if you talk to a Vietnamese, I would say that 99% of us would say there are 4 people in my family, my mom, my dad, my sister, and me, all things like that, you know. It sounds a little funny, and during my classes, I often tell my students about this, and almost everyone was surprised when I said you don't have to introduce your mom and dad in the conversation. So as you can see, there is no room for grammatical errors here. Meaning that if you consistently make some mistakes, grammatical mistakes in IELTS speaking, you will get a very low score. Grammar is something that you can control, to be honest. You will know if you make mistakes or not, if you are fluent, if you are proficient in that kind of range, in that kind of field. In my opinion, if you are able to detect your mistakes, you are proficient in that field. Meaning that if you can correct yourself a little bit, it's gonna be better. Okay, if you find yourself making a mistake, a grammatical mistake, make sure that you go back and correct yourself. Of course, self-correction is accepted, but it shouldn't be a lot. Like 10 times throughout the speaking performance, that is too much. But 1-2 times, that would be fine, okay? Nobody is 100% correct. And if you can produce a majority of error-free sentences with very few mistakes, you're gonna be fine. So I think that I would like to spend more time learning basic grammar and make sure that my basic grammar is correct rather than spending too much time on learning some advanced grammar points which turn out to be inappropriate. So those are 4 criteria to assess your speaking performance, and each criterion is 25% of your score. They are equally important. Nothing is more important than anything. So it wouldn't be okay if you focus on one thing and neglect the other 3 unless you know what your weaknesses and your strengths are, all right? So my opinion and also my advice for you is that you find yourself an expert, a person who can give you assessment, such as me, to give you some feedback where you need to focus more on and, you know, your strengths and, you know, your weaknesses. That way you will be able to understand why you are at this band score and what you need to do in order to get to the band score that you desire. At any point of time, if you need my help, don't hesitate to send me a message. Unfortunately, I cannot receive messages from you on TikTok. If you are not, if I'm not following you, so it is better for you to follow me on both TikTok and Instagram and send me messages on Instagram or an email at ielswithhuyen@gmail.com. Okay, I would be able to assist you at any time of the day. And if you haven't heard from me, probably I have missed your messages. Please remind me. All right. And thank you very much for joining me today. And I wish you a very, 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 very happy new year. And I will see you in other episodes. Have fun learning. By the way, I also have speaking mock tests at very, very, very affordable prices. So contact me. See ya.